Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, sir.
Good to see all of your smiling faces today. Did you all have a good day?
Yes, sir.
Of course. Of course, we're at YD. I just wanted to thank all of you who gave me campograms. A little FYI, I didn't read the staff handbook, so I didn't know where I was supposed to go get my campograms. So they just sat in my mailbox for a couple of days. So I apologize for that. But thank you, all of you that did give me a campogram. I appreciate that. It was nice to read them this afternoon. And I do have a question that I will address here in just a moment. But last night, I asked you to read a certain psalm, and that was?
Psalms
103. And several of you came up to me and shared with me your favorite verse and how many you found and all that kind of stuff. And it was interesting to see how some found more, some found less, but all found something that was worthwhile. Amen? All right, so here's what we're going to do. I want you to remember really quickly, how many promises did you find in Psalms 103? And when I say 1, 2, 3, on number 3, say it out loud how many promises you find. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Yes,
very good. The Lord understood that. That's great. I'm glad you had a good time going through Psalms 103. Okay, there's a question that I got that I wanted to just take a moment here to address. It says this: I have a question. Can the place of prayer, is the context here, can the place of prayer be any and everywhere, or does it have to be in a closet? Could you be in your bed, in the living room, anywhere? Just asking. Great question. So when we talked about having a place to pray, indeed the Bible says that we are to pray everywhere. But before we can pray everywhere, we have to first pray somewhere. So we want to pick a specific spot where we come to the Lord in prayer. That can be your living room. In my case, it's my laundry room. That's just the place that I have in the morning to come to the Lord in prayer. It can be in your bedroom. It can be on the front porch. It could be on your swing in the backyard. Whatever it may be, you want to just pick a spot and say, Lord, this is the spot that I want to meet you every single morning at this specific time. Now, I did mention that it's probably not the best idea to have that place be your bed, because beds were made for
sleeping.
And we don't want to mix sleeping and prayer. We want to be attentive in our prayer time. So it's probably best. Under certain circumstances, you may have to, if you're off somewhere and there's not many places where you can go and pray, you may have to use your bed. But as a general rule, it's probably not the best place. It would be better to choose someplace else. Great question. Okay, so let's do a quick review of what we've seen so far. On our first night together, we already talked about this. We found out that we need to have a what? Have a what?
Secret place
of prayer. The next thing that we learned is that we need to have a what?
Time to pray.
A specific time to pray. The third thing that we found is that we need to what?
Pray
aloud where only God can hear. That's right. And then number 4, we found out that we need to
listen.
And then last night we talked about how we need to what? It's getting quieter as I get to number 5. What was number 5? Present and believe the promises of God. Very good. So we looked at 5 things so far. Tonight we're going to do 2, and then we're going to go through our 7 biblical tips on how to have a more effective prayer life. But before we do that, I want to invite you to bow your heads with me, and we will start with a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you that we can come to you in prayer tonight. We thank you for keeping us safe today. We thank you for all the fun and joy that we can have here at YD. But tonight, Lord, as we take a few moments to meditate upon your word, we are asking again that your Holy Spirit would speak to us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Krishna was a practicing Hindu who had little use for Christianity. He had many gods. Being a Hindu, what was just one more? One day he decided that he was going to go visit his brother and their family in a distant town and spend a week together with them. Now, Krishna's brother and his family were Christians, but Krishna did not allow that to keep him from going to visit his family. So he went over there and spent a week with his Christian brother and his family. Each day his brother would have worship, they would have prayer together as a family, and Krishna would sit there and listen, but again, as a Hindu, he had many gods. What was the need for one more? Didn't really have much use for Christianity. Well, the day came. He'd been there a week. It was time for him to go home. And so the family decided they would all go down to the crowded bus station to see Krishna off on his journey. So they got there. Krishna got in line and they were waiting. Lots of people hustling and bustling around. And just before Krishna stepped on to the bus, his 10-year-old niece walked up to him and she slipped her hand in his hand and asked if she could pray with him before he left. He didn't want to hurt his little niece's feelings, so he said, sure. So she prayed and she said something like this: "Dear Lord, in Jesus' name, please keep my uncle Krishna safe. Amen." Krishna said goodbye. He got on the bus. The engine fired up and he waved out the window as he began his journey back home. Now, the journey that he was to take took him through some fairly windy roads up into the mountainous regions of the surrounding area. And Krishna was bumping along in the bumpy road and making his way home, sitting there in the bus. And then all of a sudden, it was sudden panic and chaos. All he heard were horns blaring, brakes squealing. He felt the bus swerve, and then the contents inside the bus started flying around all over the place as the bus went over the edge and began to tumble down into the valley end over end. It was sheer panic for a few moments. There was an explosive impact at the bottom of the valley, and then it was still. Krishna looked around him at all the carnage from the accident, and he realized that he was the only one who survived the accident. And as he sat there in the bus, or laid there in the bus, just complete devastation all around him, it was almost like he heard an audible voice: "Dear Lord, in Jesus' name, please keep my uncle Krishna safe. Amen." And as he laid there in that bus, he wondered to himself, "Who is this God that my brother and his family serve?" I think it goes without saying that that little prayer of the 10-year-old niece, as short as it was, had a huge impact in the life of her uncle Krishna. But there's something special about that prayer that I want to talk about here together with you tonight. And if you have your Bibles, which you are young disciples, so you have your Bibles, let me see your Bibles. There's more. Amen. Okay, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14, we're going to look at verses 13 and 14. John, chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Are y'all there? All right, here we go. The Bible says this: "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Go to chapter 15. and verse 16. Jesus is still talking here. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Listen to this. That whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Go to chapter 16. Verses 23 and 24. And in that day, Jesus is still talking here, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. What does Jesus say we should do when we pray? We should ask in? Krishna's little niece, when she prayed in Jesus' name. This is repeated 5 times in just the matter of a short period of time. Jesus is here talking to the disciples. Their upper room experience has already happened. They're getting ready to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. It's a short period of time between John 14, 15, and 16. It's a continuation of the conversation. And 5 times in that conversation, Jesus tells his disciples that when they pray, they are to pray in what? In his name. And that if they pray in his name, what would he do? What would he do? He would answer and give them what they prayed for. Now listen to me carefully. This is not a blank check. This doesn't mean that God is just handing you a blank check and say, write out whatever you want and you're going to have it. Praying in Jesus' name means a little bit more than just inserting his name at the beginning and finishing it off at the end and sprinkling his name a little bit here and there in your prayer time. In fact, listen to this from the book Desire of Ages, page 668. Listen to what we are told here. Desire of Ages 668, it says this. But to pray in Christ's name means much. What does it mean? To pray in Christ's name means much. It means that we are to accept his character, manifest his spirit, and work his works. To pray in Jesus' name means much. Now, I don't have time to unpack everything in this little quote here. But what I do want to unpack just briefly here is this, where she says that it means we are to accept his character. Accept his what?
Character.
His character. Now, you know that in the Bible, Bible names oftentimes had meaning behind them. And when you think about Jesus and his character, there are lots of attributes in the Bible that can be applied to the character of Jesus. But there's one that I want to specifically mention here tonight as it relates to the prayer life of Christ. You will remember that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying to his Father that this cup might pass from him, he said, nevertheless, not what? My will, but thine be done. So he had an attitude of surrender, humility to the Father's will in his prayer life. We are told in the book Desire of Ages that when we pray in Jesus' name, when I say, dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name I pray, I am telling the Father that I want the character of Christ in my life. That as I come to him in prayer, I am coming in an attitude of surrender and humility to the will of God. Now, you may remember in the Lord's Prayer where Jesus says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy on as it is in. So even in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is telling us this is a model of how we are to pray. At the very beginning of that prayer, he tells us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is God's will done in heaven? Yes or no?
Yes.
It's God's will and nothing but God's will that's done in heaven. And as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, we're praying that that same thing would take place here on this earth and in my life. So I want you to think about that next time. When you come to the Lord in prayer and you kneel down and you say, dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name I pray. Listen, this isn't just a form. What we are saying when we pray in Jesus' name is that we want that character of Jesus duplicated in us in our prayer life. Not my will, but thine be done. So number six is that we are to pray in Jesus' name. And what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? It means that I want His character in my prayer life. Now, number seven is what I want to spend a little bit more time on here tonight. Because this is oftentimes where we get tripped up in our prayer life. Go with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Are you there? All right, the Bible says this. Paul talking, he says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing what? Continuing what?
Instant.
In? Continuing instant in prayer is what the Apostle Paul tells us to do. Now, I looked up this word. What does it mean, continuing instant? And I found an interesting little definition. It means to persevere and not to faint. It means what? To persevere and not to become faint. That's right. Number seven is to be persistent in your prayer life. To be what?
Persistent.
To be what?
Persistent.
To be persistent in your prayer life. And I want to give you an example of this in the Bible. Go with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to begin in verse 1. We're going to look at an illustration, a Bible example of what it means to be instant and persistent in our prayer life. Listen to this. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 1, the Bible says this. "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying," listen to what the word of the Lord said, "Go show thou thyself unto Ahab, and I will send" what?
Rain
"upon the earth." Okay, so you know the story. There's been 3.5 years of drought at this point. There hasn't been any rain. Elijah's kind of been in hiding during this time. And now the Lord comes to him and he says, "Elijah, I want you to go show yourself to King Ahab, and I want you to tell him that there is going to be rain." So what did the word of the Lord say? There's going to be what?
Rain.
The word of the Lord said that there would be rain after 3.5 years of no rain. So Elijah calls the king and all of the prophets of Baal, and they have the whole showdown on top of Mount Carmel, where the prophets of Baal are jumping around and dancing and cutting themselves and crying to the god Baal to bring water down, or fire down rather, from heaven. And you know the story. Elijah prays a simple, short and sweet prayer, and amazing things happen. As a result of that prayer, everybody there shouted and said, "The Lord, He is God." How many of you would like to have that type of prayer life? Powerful prayer he prayed. But he prayed another prayer after that. Because the Bible tells us that God said that there would be what? That there would be rain. Now go with me back in your Bibles. We're going to go back to 1 Kings chapter 18. And we're going to look at verse 41. We're going to start in verse 41. Notice what the Bible says. Starting in verse 41, it says, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." Let me tell you something right now. When Elijah said that there is a sound of abundance of rain, he did not hear any rain in his ear. He heard it in his heart, because the word of God said that there would be. Verse 42. "So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees." What was he doing? It was an attitude of prayer. So he's bowing down on top of Mount Carmel where this great victory has just taken place, where all of the people there said, "The Lord, He is God." He is there in a posture of prayer with his face to the ground. Verse 43, it says, "And he said to his servant, 'Go up now, look toward the sea.' And he went up and looked and said, 'There is nothing.' And he said, 'Go again,'" how many times? How many times? Seven times, verse 44, "And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, 'Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand.' And he said, 'Go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the what?" That the what?
Rain
stop thee not." How many times did Elijah pray? How many? Seven times he told his servant to go up and to see if there was a cloud in the sky. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is from the book Prophets and Kings, page 156. Listen carefully. It says this: "As he," Elijah, "prayed, his faith reached out and grasped the promise of heaven." What did his faith do? Grasped the promise of heaven, and he persevered in prayer until his petition was what? Until his petition was answered. That was from Prophets and Kings, page 156. Prophets and Kings, page 156. So she says he persevered in prayer until his petition was answered. Now, why could Elijah persevere in his prayer until his petition was answered? Because he was praying according to God's... He was praying according to God's... His God's word. God had promised. His word said that there was going to be rain. And although they didn't see clouds in the sky, although he didn't necessarily hear the thunder in his ears, he knew in his heart that God's word would do what God's word said it would do. And so he persevered in his prayer. He kept asking, he kept pressing that petition home to the throne room of God until he got the answer to that prayer, because he wasn't praying for his will, but he was praying for God's will. Now listen, you can pray until the cows come home about things that you want, but if that prayer request is not rooted and grounded in the promises of God's word, you will not be able to claim the promises that we just read in John 14, 15, and 16, where Jesus says, "If you pray in my name, it will be given to you." We persevere in prayer because we are presenting the promises of God to him in our prayer time. Now, here's the interesting thing to me. What would have happened if Elijah stopped praying after prayer number 5? What if he had stopped praying after prayer number 6? You know, the Bible doesn't tell us what would happen. But I oftentimes wonder to myself if perhaps we miss out on answered prayers because we're not persistent enough in presenting them to God. We need to be like Jacob, who wrestled with the angel all night long. And he said, "I will not let you go unless you what? Bless me." Now, I want to make this abundantly clear. We're not asking for the things that we want in our prayers. We're asking for what God has promised, which we studied last night. We're presenting the promises of God. And when you present the promises of God, they are yours. You can claim them as yours. Keep presenting them. Keep presenting them. Keep bringing them to God. Keep praying them until the Lord fulfills that prayer request in your life. Because you are praying according to God's word, you can claim it as yours and keep bringing it to him in prayer. Now listen, the day is going to come, as an example here, when you are going to be choosing a potential life spouse. And if you come to the Lord and you ask him, "Lord, please let this non-believing, non-Christian, non-Seventh-day Adventist person become my spouse, and I will be the one who helps them come to know the Lord." Let me tell you something tonight. That prayer request is not according to the Word of God. We can't pray a prayer like that because the Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So when we pray, we need to make sure that those prayer requests that we're being persistent about are in line with what the Word of God says. So tonight, two things we learned. Number one, we need to pray in? Come on, everybody. We need to pray in?
Jesus' name.
And then the second one we learned tonight is that we need to be what?
Persistent
in our prayers. Not presenting our own requests, but presenting the promises of God, His Word, as Elijah did in 1 Kings chapter 18. Yoon was 16 years old, and he came to his mother, and he said, Mom, who is Jesus Christ? Can you believe that there's people in the world who don't know who Jesus Christ is? That's why you come to Young Disciple Bible Camp, so you can learn how to tell those people who Jesus Christ is. Go on a mission experience. Mom, who is Jesus Christ? She didn't have a whole lot of knowledge about the Bible, but she had a little bit. And she told Yoon, she said, Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came to this earth to die on a cross as a sacrifice for our sins. And she told him that there is a special book called the Bible, and in that book there is recorded all of the teachings that God wants His children to learn. Well, Yoon was fascinated. He was only 16 years old, but he wanted to get his hands on this book. Can you believe that there are people in the world today who don't have access to the Bible? So he asked his mom, where can I get a copy of this book? This book of the Bible by Jesus. She thought for a little while and she said, well, we don't have one. But I do remember that there's a man in a faraway town who has a Bible. And so Yoon decided he would make that trip. And him and his mother made the long trip over to where this man was so that Yoon could see the Bible. When they got there, he asked the man, can I see the Bible? The book that was written by Jesus? And the man was afraid because in that area of the world, if you owned a Bible, you could lose your life. And so he was afraid. He thought maybe Yoon was somebody that came to spy on him. And so he didn't want to show him his Bible. But he told Yoon, he said, Yoon, if you want a Bible, the Bible is a heavenly book. And only the heavenly God in heaven can give you the heavenly book. And if you pray, He will give you one. So Yoon went home without seeing the Bible. And he decided that he would fast and pray for 100 days. That he would eat one bowl of steamed rice, and that was it. And that he would ask the God of heaven for a Bible. Was he committed? 100 days, one bowl of steamed rice a day. He prayed day after day. After day, he wanted a Bible. That's all. His parents thought that he had lost his mind. But 3 months into this, a little more than 3 months actually, Yoon was praying, same prayer. He wanted a Bible. As he was praying, somebody knocked on the door. And Yoon went over and he opened the door. And there was a man there who said, I have been sent to give you a Bible. Does God answer prayer?
Amen.
Here's the story. There was an evangelist in a faraway town who had a dream one night about a village and a house and a boy that he was supposed to give his Bible to. But for 3 months, that evangelist, he vacillated whether or not he would do it. But he finally did it. And when he got there, he got to the town, he saw the house, and he saw the young man's face that he saw in his dream. And he gave Yoon that Holy Bible. Yoon studied the Word of God, fell in love with Jesus, and there were multiple people that were converted in the country of China because of that young man's persistence in prayer. You know, most young people do not have the persistence to pray like that. But I want to inspire you tonight to become that young person. And I'm not suggesting you need to fast like Yoon did. But I am suggesting that you need to be persistent in presenting your requests before the Lord. I think sometimes we present our request and then we forget about it. And we forget about it sometimes as quickly as we present it. Sometimes if you were to ask yourself an hour after you prayed in the morning, if somebody asked you, what did you ask the Lord this morning? Many of us would totally have forgotten what we asked for that morning. But as we ask over and over and over and over again, it becomes all-consuming that we want what God's Word says we can have. And we pray for it, and we pray for it. Let me ask you a question. After fasting and praying for 100 days, how do you think Yoon treated that Word of God? Do you think he treated the Bible with respect? Do you think he valued the Bible after praying for it for 100 days? What if he had prayed a flippant prayer in the morning and then in the afternoon, there comes the Bible? Sure, it would have been a great answer to prayer, but it wouldn't have been quite as valuable as it was after praying for it for 100 days. And then God answers that prayer. We need to be young people who pray persistently, bringing the requests that God has promised in His Word. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I were house hunting. You know, we're moving, getting ready to move to a new place. And we'd scoured the internet trying to find a house in our price range. And we found a bunch of them, but there was one particular house that we thought, this is going to be the one. Right in our price range, it's a beautiful place in the country, got a little bit of property there. This is going to be the one. And so we went with the real estate agent. We went after one house, this house, that house. We went all over the place, spent a day looking at different houses. The next day came, and the real estate agent said, now we're going to go look at this house that you've been interested in. So we went there. We pulled up. Ah, beautiful house. Just like it looked like on the internet. Beautiful, nice painted outside. Had a nice little porch in the back there. It was a beautiful little house. And we walked inside. The real estate agent unlocked the door. We walked inside and we looked around. It was just like the picture showed on the internet. We looked around. We went from one room to another. And we thought, well, we can make this modification and that modification. This is really, really good. We're liking this house. We went to one room, went to another room. And then we came into the kitchen. The kitchen was nice. I mean, it was perfectly fine. But there was a door in the kitchen that said, please keep shut. So we asked the real estate agent, can we go behind that door? She said, sure, you can see anything in the house. So we opened the door. Doesn't smell too good. Looked around the corner, and there was a black hole down there. Stairs went down, and there was this black hole. I brought a flashlight with me because I thought I'd be looking in black places looking at houses. Turned the flashlight on and looked down there. It was the basement. How many of you have a basement? A couple of you have a basement. Looking down the basement. Ooh. So we stepped down the stairs. We went down the stairs. And we got down to the bottom, and there was just this smearing of mud across the ground. The real estate agent said, that doesn't look too good. That looks like there was some running water down here. So we walked down there, kind of stepped over that mud, and looked around the corner, shine my flashlight, big puddle over here. Show my flashlight, a big puddle over there. Oh, this is not looking good. The walls were kind of bent in. That's not good, just in case you're wondering. Looked at the ceiling. Oh, man, some of the wood was kind of flaky, you know what I mean, when it's rotten? Real estate agent looked at the ceiling. Oh, boy, that's asbestos. You don't want this house. And so we turned around and we said, yeah, we don't want this house. And as I walked past, there was another black hole to my left-hand side. And I said, I'm not even going to look in there. So I went up the stairs and we went outside. We closed the door. We hopped into our car and we looked at the beautiful house on the outside. Oh, it's so beautiful. But we said, we're not going to buy that house because it has a stinky old basement. Some of us have stinky old basements that we don't want anybody to go into. we have a little sign. Please keep shut. It smells down here. It's rotten. I don't want you to go down here. But on the outside, oh, we look so beautiful. Wonderful young disciples. We have all the nice things on the outside. We have a smile on our face. We have our Bible in our hand. We have all of these wonderful things, but we have a stinky old basement. Not a very good foundation for a house. As I drove away, right before I drove away, the real estate agent told me that house is going to fall in because the stinky old basement was rotting away the foundation. I want to tell you something tonight. There are two things that will give you a sure foundation to have a beautiful character. Bible study and prayer. Right? When we have those two things in our lives, Bible study and prayer, consistently, we're building our house on a good foundation. A foundation that's not going to leak water, a foundation that's not going to rot and eventually cause the house to implode upon itself. And then that beautiful house on the outside will be able to stand a lot longer than if it's built on a stinky old basement. So I want to ask you tonight, would you open that door to the stinky old basement and say, Lord, come in, do some renovation work, change the foundation, help me to incorporate prayer and Bible study consistently in my life so that the beautiful character that you want me to have will be set upon a solid foundation. How many of you want that? Now listen, don't be raising your hand just because somebody next to you is doing it. This isn't salvation by peer pressure. Do you know what I'm talking about? Lots of peer pressure that happens, you know. Sometimes positive peer pressure is not a bad thing. But these types of decisions we need to make on our own. So I want to ask you tonight, if you want to say, Lord, I want to build my character on the solid foundation of prayer and Bible study, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and stand up and let the Lord know that that's what you want to do. Young people, the world today is dying for young people like Yoon. Young people who are so serious with God, they have a connection with Him that will bring answers to their prayers. And there are 90 to 100 young people right here that are going to leave this place on Sunday, fly out, drive home, wherever it may be. You can be the Yoons where God takes you to go. You can be the ones that pray prayers that God answers. Just have to take these simple things and apply them in your lives. And you will see exponential results. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're not standing before you because of anything that we can do. But we're standing before you this evening, Lord, as an act of submission to you, realizing that within us there is nothing, but within you and your word there is everything. And Father, we want to pray like Jesus. We want to pray like Elijah. We want to pray powerful prayers that are biblically based, that the Lord will answer. Father, we want persistence. We want tenacity in our prayer life. We want to be consistently bringing the requests before you until we receive an answer as Elijah did. We will not let you go until you bless us. So, Father, be with each person that's standing here tonight. We're standing before you, Lord, because we want to build the character of our lives upon the solid foundation of prayer and Bible study every day. As we leave this place on Sunday, there's going to be a lot to distract us. Friends, entertainment, music, different things, gossip, internet, Facebook. All of these things are vying for our attention to distract us, Lord. Help us to remember the commitment that we are making here tonight. That God is first, last, and best in our life. Guide us, Lord, I pray. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you are God who hears and answers our prayers. And we thank you that you are going to help us to this end. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.